Just get the music.
Here in the church with us, and those who are joining us on the various media platforms, whether wherever and whenever, a very warm welcome to you all as we come to start the year in the best possible way by coming together as a group of Christians to meet with and to worship God. And a very warm welcome back to Colin Hanover.
Thank you.
He's not a stranger to us. He's helped us out in the past, not least during our vacancy. And we're grateful to you, Colin, for coming to us this morning to conduct our service for us, and we look forward to that. We're resuming normal service after worship with teas and coffees through in the church hall, so if you're able to stay, please do so. On Wednesday, we have our prayer time for the future of Salu, and 2023 is going to be a significant year for us. There are still things that may be, decisions that may be taken at presbytery and higher level, which may affect us. And we will have decisions ourselves to make in terms of our buildings and the disposal of them. So a lot to pray about in terms of our future and how our witness and worship in the community develops. It hasn't made it, I don't think, to the screen, but on Friday I'm told that TOFM are gathering for coffee and I think they said a natter, Sheila, is at it, 10 o'clock in the church hall on Friday for TOFM. And the next three Sundays, Grant Cumming is going to be conducting our services for us, and the theme over those 3 weeks will be loving God, loving Jesus, and what that means in practice. And next Sunday will be the first of those, that short series, talking about desire for God, based on the first few verses of the Song of Solomon. Thank you.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year. Could you hear that? Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Excellent. Have you still got a hangover from last night? Is this a bit loud for you? Are you sure? Because if you've had a heavy night, you know, I don't want to come over too heavy on you. Well, it's good to be here. And in spite of the weather, it's not the best of mornings, is it? But those that are watching this elsewhere apparently have the right idea. They're propped up in bed watching this. Well, we bless them anyway. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Please respond as it says on the screen there. People of the world, it is time to celebrate new beginnings. People of faith, it is time to look ahead in hope. People of hope, it is time to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And so we enter another year. We look forward with hope, for it is on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And so we come into our first hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but holy trust in Jesus' name. And this is to the tune, Will Your Anchor Hold? Let us share in prayer together. Let us pray. God of all wisdom and love, giver of all good things, we thank you for your loving kindness and for your constant care over all creation. We thank you for the gift of life, for your guiding hand upon us and your sustaining love within us. We thank you for friendship and duty, for good hopes for the new year and precious memories of past years, for the joys that cheer us and the trials that teach us to trust in you. We thank you for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for the living presence of your Spirit, for your universal church, the body of Christ, and our part in it, and for the ministry of the word and all the means of grace. In our weakness, you are our strength. In our darkness, our light. In our sorrows, you are our comfort and peace. Loving God, you care for all your children. You know each one of us and hear each prayer. You know each home and see each need. Give peace and love to those who call upon you, and receive us into the kingdom of your light. Bless this church and all the families represented here today. Confirm us in the faith of the gospel. Inspire us with love for your house, zeal in your service, and joy in the well-being of your kingdom. Gracious Father, bless with your comfort and healing powers all who are in trouble or pain. Heal those who are sick, especially those close to our hearts and in our thoughts at this moment. Father God, support those who are dying, console those who mourn, and supply the wants of those who are in need. Bless our homes, that love and joy may dwell there, and keep those friends who are absent from us within the protection of your love. Open our hearts and minds to receive your message, Lord, and grant us a rich and fulfilling experience in your name and service throughout the coming year. Father, hear and bless this prayer, and that which we now together say in the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the spot where we encounter the children. And we haven't got any children, have we? We're all children. Did you not know that? In the history of the world, in the scheme, in the ages of the system, we're all quite young. However, are we young at heart? Yes. Yes. Well, I like to think I'm always young at heart. What I was going to ask children, and I'm going to ask you anyway, there are two younger people here that are sitting there nervously thinking, don't pick on me. And there's one, look at your face, oh dear, that's it, smile. And there's another one there. Don't worry, I'm not going to pick on you, all right? I'm just highlighting the fact that we've got some younger people here. Isn't that nice? You're certainly a lot younger than I am, that's for sure. Anyway, I was going to ask young people if they'd made any resolutions, which is a question I could put to all of you. Have any of you made resolutions? Or do you think it's a waste of time? Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to ask the young people, what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? Yeah? I did say I'm not going to pick on you, so you're safe. I'm not going to pick on you. What I was going to say was, in relation to that, I watched a rather nice film. You may have heard of it. It's been on television. The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. Yeah, have you all seen it? Well, some of you. If you haven't, you need to see it. It's not on long, about half an hour, I think. Maybe that. But it's beautifully illustrated. I really like the illustrations. And there's some very nice little moral lines that come from that. And that's where this question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the little boy says, be kind. And I thought, that's brilliant. And if we could all be kind to each other, share in the love and get love back, what a happier world we'd all be living in, don't you think? And that was what I was really going to talk to the children about. I was going to say also, and this account, this is for all of you, that you are loved and you are important and you bring to this world things that no one else can. We're all unique in different ways. And always remember, you're enough just as you are. And that was that. Then I was going to hand out sweeties. But as you've all said, no, I'm not young. I'm not going to hand out my sweeties. I nearly came across to you two there, but I won't. See me after if you bought a sweetie. Anyway, resolutions. I was going to give up all my bad habits. But then I remembered that no one likes a quitter. Yeah. New Year's resolutions are something that goes in one year and out the other. Yeah? Yeah. Here's a question for you. Why should you stand on one leg at Hogmanay? What's that? I can't hear you. Oh, first footing. That's a good answer for Scotland. We wouldn't understand that south of the border. No, that's not the right answer. You stand on one leg at Hogmanay to make sure you start the new year on the right foot. Well, quit while you're ahead. Here's Alistair.
Today's reading it starts at Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for purification, the rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what the law of the Lord said, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before the Messiah was seen. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were looking forward to for the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And the second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14.
Alistair.
This is not on the screen, but
It's not now. Later.
Later?
Yes.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. My apologies.
That's my face. You've got to keep people waiting. Suspense is good. Well, here we are, on the first day of a new year.
And there's already anticipation, or is it dread, growing in the minds of many. I heard one woman say she dreaded the new year because the holidays aren't quite over, and already she's about 90 days ahead on her calories and 90 days behind with her bills. Some of you may identify with her. But you know, our calendar did not come down from above. It was not established. It was established by humans. There's no real reason why one day on the calendar should bear more significance than any other in the year. Yet, still we invest the changing of the year with a great deal of meaning. It's become a time of hope, of planning, of vision casting, and of course a time for resolutions. A time to set targets aimed at self-improvement. What about you? Are you disposed to set yourselves a resolution or two? Well, to help you, I have a short list of attitudes and actions, and I call it my 7-up list. The first is wake up. Begin the day with the Lord. After all, every day is His day. So rejoice in it. The second is dress up. Put on a smile. It improves your looks and it says something about your attitude. The third is shut up. Watch your tongue. Don't gossip. Say nice things and learn to listen. The fourth is stand up. Take a stand for what you believe. Resist evil. Do good. The fifth, look up. Open your eyes to the Lord. After all, He is your Saviour. The sixth is reach up. Spend time in prayer with your adorations, confessions, thanksgivings, and supplications to the Lord. And finally, lift up. Be available to help those in need, serving, supporting, and sharing. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution, you might want to start with this list of 7-ups. But why do we bother to make New Year's resolutions in the first place? Why do we feel this need each January the 1st to set new goals? Perhaps it's because resolutions help us to identify our priorities. They answer the question, how do I want to invest my time, my energy, my money and talents in this new year? Perhaps the new year reminds us that time is passing and it's up to each of us to maximise the potential of every moment. Someone once wrote these thought-provoking words on the meaning of time. To realise the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realise the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realise the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet. To realise the value of 1 minute, ask the person who just missed his train. To realise the value of 1 second, ask the person who just avoided an accident. And to realise the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won a silver medal at the Olympics. The coming of the new year forces us to face the question, what will my priorities be this year? And that's the question that Simeon, the central figure in our passage from the book of Luke, didn't have to ask himself. His New Year's resolution was the same every year, to wait for the Messiah.
Simeon was zealous for only one thing, only one purpose in life, only one focus in prayer. His first thought upon rising and his last thought before lying down was, will I see God? In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13, the Lord tells his people, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, many centuries later, Jesus would echo this sentiment when he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Our Bible passage tells us that Simeon was a man with a pure heart. He had been blessed with a special assurance from the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the coming Messiah. Many older people face the future with anxiety. They may fear a future of failing health, shrinking finances, social isolation. Some people reach their senior years only to face a void of meaninglessness. Their self-imposed goals have been met. Their socially ascribed roles no longer fit. Their life dwindles down to a period of anxious waiting. This is not the case with Simeon. Because of the Holy Spirit's promise to him, he could face the future with hope and joy. The composer Oscar Hammerstein once claimed, I just can't write anything without hope in it. Do you remember these lyrics from the musical Oklahoma? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a wonderful day. I've got a glorious feeling. Everything's going my way. That's... No? You might not have recognised it the way I said it, of course. In his show South Pacific, one of the songs contains these words, I'm stuck like a dope with a thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart. Well, I think that was Simeon's theme song. But hope for what? Hope that he would see the Lord's power and glory and mercy in the flesh. Hope that he would see God's ultimate plan for his chosen people. Do you want to face this new year with hope and peace and salvation? Before we leave the Christmas season behind, look upon the face of the Christ child one last time and see there your hope for this new year and every year. And may this be a defining year in your life when you experience the coming of the Lord in your heart. Our next hymn begins with the words, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no
Let us pray. Dear Lord and Master, as we come before you with gratitude in our hearts for all your goodness toward us, accept these humble gifts that they may be used to the glory of your heavenly kingdom here on earth throughout this new year. Amen.
Most of this morning's prayer I've taken from a prayer that's in this month's Life and Work, which I find very beautiful. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this new year. Thank you for Bridal and Francie and their ministry here amongst us. Please give them rest and relaxation back home with their family. Let us always remember how much they gave up to come and work in Scotland in our church. We remember all the prayers written before Christmas on the angels on the tree, and we hope that some prayers were answered. We pray now in silence for all who are struggling for whatever reason. May they feel your presence. Lord of the turning years and the growing universe, we station ourselves at the beginning of this new year with diaries and calendars already filling, yet still there are blank spaces and question marks. What will this year of grace be? What will be the highs and lows, the hopes and fears, the dreams and nightmares that still must shape and form and fill these coming days? Where, in the gaps, will the Lord of time find the space to whisper and speak and shout? Where, in the gaps, will be the time of quiet reflection and soul nourishing? God of all ages, in your hands all time is held, the past, the present, and the future. You have already thought of paths for us to travel along. You have already built into each day that element of choice that enriches and sometimes perplexes our relationship with you. What do you want us to be in this life? What do you want us to do with this year? We hold each shining minute, day, and month in our grateful hands, acknowledging that full time and empty time are equal gifts from you to be used and experienced. In these liquid moments, with our days not yet completely committed, we hold up this new year to you and all life within it and ask for blessing, blessing, blessing for us and for our loved ones, for our work and for our leisure, for our country and our world, and for your church in these times of change and uncertainty and opportunity. Lord of the turning years, hear all of our prayers this day in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Second reading is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of his truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
Reference to the praise of his glory came up a few times in that reading. And so our next hymn begins with the words, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet I tribute bring." One of my goals this year is to tidy my desk. Another is to find last year's goals. Most of us here have seen many New Year's come and go. And I dare say that sometimes it's easy to become disillusioned with these New Years because they don't seem very new at all. Each New Year is just like the old year. Another year has gone by and everything's still the same. There's still pollution and war and stupidity and greed. Nothing's changed. What kind of new year is this? I thought things were supposed to improve. I thought the future was supposed to be better. The problem with the future is that it keeps turning into the present.
Traditionally a time for reflection, New Year is when we look back over the previous year and assess our successes and failures. A time when we gain some satisfaction over our successes and perhaps experience a little disappointment, perhaps even guilt, over our failures. Each time we face a new beginning, such as a new year, we hope that things will be different, that things will be better. But the future just keeps turning into the present. Perhaps this is why some of us come to church, in the hope that the Holy Spirit may fall afresh on us, and the future will be full of exciting new possibilities, positive change, and new growth. We tire of having the same old, same old. Two men were talking about one of their colleagues. One said, "Did you know he has 30 years of experience in his field?" But his friend's response was, "Actually, he hasn't had 30 years of experience at all. He has had 1 year of experience 30 times. For the future kept turning into the present for him." Now, this is not God's will for us. Listen to a very upbeat lesson from Ephesians for this new year. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves." That's great news, don't you think? Yes. Yes, okay. Some of you nodded. We are God's chosen ones, his elect. God doesn't want our lives to be humdrum, meaningless, depressing routines. God wants something better for us than that. And that is why there are some things we need to recognise as we begin this new year. First of all, we need to see that God loves doing a new thing. In Revelation 21, verse 5, he said, "See, I am making everything new." He said practically the same thing through Isaiah the prophet, where in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, we read, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." This is part of the excitement of knowing God. God loves doing a new thing. We as human beings are often afraid of change, aren't we? Yeah? Yeah, I know that's true. There's a lot of change going on just now in the Church of Scotland, and we are a wee bit apprehensive. Even suspicious, perhaps, of change. We long to be able to cling to the status quo. That's Latin. Did you know that? Does anybody want to tell me what it means? Well, to quote from the dictionary, it says, "the existing state of affairs." In other words, everything stays the same. You all knew that, I know that. But if I were to tell you that it meant the mess we're in, would you want to keep the status quo? Sometimes it's dangerous to stick to the status quo. Sometimes change is for the better. God loves change, especially changed lives. Resolutions are often hard to keep. I'm sure you'd agree with that. How many of you have ever been determined to drop an old habit only to begin a new one? How many of you have seen a resolution shattered the same day you made it? Turning over a new leaf is sometimes hard. What we need is not so much inspiration, but transformation. Not a resolution, but a revolution. We need to change in our lives, that comes from God. What every person needs is something that will permanently affect their life situation. What we need is something that will truly satisfy our longings, something that will bring true and lasting change. What we need is for God to do a new thing within us. And that can happen because God loves doing a new thing. Another thing he loves is giving people a new name. This is the biblical way of looking at life. A new name symbolizes new possibilities. Look at Simon Peter, the disciple who forgot Jesus' teaching about turning the other cheek and slashed a man's ear off with a sword. The disciple who fled when danger neared and denied his master with a curse. Jesus dared to call him the Rock. Jesus knew his real name. Everyone knew Peter as a man with hot emotions. He was unstable. His temper flared. There were times that he was uncertain of himself and times that he couldn't make up his mind. His emotional reactions were completely unpredictable. A rock was the last thing most people associated with Peter. Everyone knew his vacillating emotions were his weakness. But Jesus saw through Peter's weakness and told him that his weakness could be his strength through the transforming power of God. Jesus determined that he would use Simon Peter's fiery emotions and his impetuous actions to accomplish his purpose in the world. And so he named Peter what Christ needed him to be, a rock. And what we need is someone who can look beyond our faults and weaknesses and not only love us, but expect the best from us. Someone who will believe in us, who will give us another chance, who will call us by another name. Some of us are our own worst critics, focusing on our weaknesses and imperfections more than our strengths. We feel inadequate, perhaps even guilty. We feel that much of what we do turns out wrong or is not of value. Perhaps we have had more than our fair share of failures, and because of our past, people expect us to fail. How Jesus longs to give you and me a new name. Listen to these wonderful words of the Lord from Isaiah 62, verses 2 and 3. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. I'm amazed how many people think that God sees only the bad in them, believing he is more aware of their failure than he is the good that is in them. They think that God is waiting to find something that they say or do wrong so that he can pounce on them and condemn them. Please know that God is much more concerned over the good in you than he is the bad. He is much more anxious to reward your goodness than to punish your evil. Many times while we are condemning ourselves, God is trying to help us realize his forgiveness. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, in our hearts, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. While we are calling ourselves failures, God is calling us forgiven. He is calling us by a new name. He sees what we are and yet insists on calling us by another name. God dares to dream the impossible dream for us. We often talk about believing in God and forget that God may also believe in us. We yell and scream and flaunt our wickedness before him, refusing to believe in his amazing grace, but all at once we begin to wonder if perhaps it could be true. God, love me after all, even when he sees what I really am. Could it be that my life could be different? Is it possible that the Bible is for real when it says in Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And what about the verse in John 15, verse 15, that says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Could it be that our names have been changed? We are calling ourselves failures while he is calling us friends. We are calling ourselves losers while he is calling us my beloved. We are calling ourselves sinners while he is calling us saints. Could it be that God is giving us a new chance, a new lease on life, a new name, no matter how many times or how miserably we have failed? God loves doing a new thing within his people. God loves giving people new names. The final thing we need to realize is that God's new name for us means a new beginning. It sounds unbelievable, but it seemed unbelievable when God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abram and Sarai were childless, but God called him Abraham, father of multitudes. He made him a father of a nation. Sarai he called Sarah, which means princess. What a marvellous and transforming imagination God has. How full of love God's heart is. How powerful his spirit to take our failures and give us a future. How marvellous of God to take people who were headed nowhere and use them to fulfil his plan for the world. When people talk about other people, that sometimes say, that person will always be that way. People never change. You know the old saying, a leopard never changes his spots. But God knows better. One of the benefits of being in the ministry is the opportunity to see people change, and sometimes quite dramatically. Never underestimate the power of God in your life or anyone else's. The book of Genesis describes the life story of Jacob. From his birth, he was named Jacob, a Hebrew name, which meant supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. And he lived up to his name, or perhaps down, just as everyone had expected he would. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. He deceived his father and cheated his father-in-law out of his possessions. But when the angel of the Lord came to him, he asked his name. And when he replied that his name was Jacob, meaning schemer, the angel replied that he would no longer be known as Jacob, but as Israel, which means Prince of God. Imagine that. Not only was Jacob's name changed, but his heart was changed as well. He was never the same again. Those the world called tax collectors, Jesus called disciples. Those called sinners, Jesus called companions. Those scorned as immoral, he called forgiven. Those called common fishermen, he called fishers of men. A crucified thief, he called an heir to paradise. What names have you been called? What names have you called yourself? Jesus Christ offers you a new lease of life, a new chance in this new year, a new name. A new year is also a good time to give other people a new chance. It is a time to also expect the best from them, to realise that perhaps with a little help and trust from you, they could be better. Give people a chance to begin again with you. You and I are to forgive those who have sinned against us. If we cannot even forgive each other, how can we ever hope to experience the unconditional love and forgiveness of God? He has called us his blessed, chosen, holy, blameless, adopted sons and daughters. As the future of this new year becomes our present, may we all be found living up to our new God-given names. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, written by Isaac Watts, is often used at funerals and services of remembrance, but the words are in fact of hope for the new year and future years to come. And it begins with the words, O God, our help in ages past, our hope. for years to come. And we're going to sing this at a slightly livelier pace than you'd normally sing it. Thank you. Now, may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon you and those whom you love throughout the year ahead. And may you each and every one experience prosperity, good health, and true contentment in all that you set out to achieve. And may you stand firm in the faith.
God bless you all. Safe journey.